Hello, everybody who is listening, and thank you for joining another episode of The Plumped Serpent with me, Isabel Bloom, and my guest today, John Ferris. Hello, John, and welcome to The Plumped Serpent.
Hi, Isabel. Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you for your time, and I really appreciate that. John, tell us a little bit about your background and what are you actually doing?
Well, I'm a chef. I work with ingredients native to the Americas. Professionally, I've been a chef for over 15 years. And just in the last 10 or so, I've gotten into what I really feel is where I'm going in my career as a person, what I have as a I guess you could say as a dharma for life, for my life, for the world. So working with native ingredients has given me a lot of insight into a natural, I guess you could say natural way of looking at food, but then also reversing that, looking at the world that produces the food and how it can be produced in a different way, better way, a traditional way. And through all of this, I'm finding that although I'm not Native American, I have paid attention to the background of what the Native Americans have brought forth into our lives up to this point. And so I've studied ethnobotany and natural history, and also just a lot of cooking techniques, grew up in the restaurant business. So I have a very well-rounded background in a lot of things in approaching the food, and even reading Zen Buddhist monks about how they look at food, you know, and which is really very interesting. It's like picking it up, looking at it, and what is this telling me that it wants it to happen? What does it want to do? What does it want me to do for it? You know, so it's that kind of approach that is taking more of a hold on where I'm going and what I'm doing with food and with my life. And that transcends into, of course, working with a bigger picture, I guess you could say, because of my occupation, I'm looking at the food system and everything that's involved with the food system. And so I see that there's a few places to jump in at that I have the opportunity to do. So that's kind of like where I'm headed now.
Food is indeed a very, very interesting field. Everybody of us needs food.
Right. Well, so exactly.
It is quite essential. And as you mentioned, it is linked to so many areas of our life. It is linked to history. It is linked to the land. It is linked to culture. It is linked to our body. It is linked to economy. It is linked actually to everything.
That's exactly right. And you know, part of that realization is the fact that more people need to know about that. I mean, a lot of people don't know about that. And, you know, the politics of it has kept a lot of people from understanding and knowing and actually trying to find out. So I guess also there is where also I can hopefully help make a difference.
And in your work, I mean, when you're working as a chef, what is your experience with your guests when you present your whole or holistic food or cooking?
Man, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's something that I find that I really enjoy. And when I'm doing a dinner of native foods, you know, native to the Americas, North through South America, I've learned a lot of different techniques. And and I've also done a lot of studying and prepping before the dinner to check up on the foods, the backgrounds, the culture, the ceremonies behind all this food. And what I do is with each stage or each course, if you will, I present a little bit of history. I give a little bit of tidbits that might be might be interesting and may also really what it does for me, what I'm trying to do is to give them complete appreciation of not only what I'm doing, that's kind of secondary. I'm just kind of like a conduit for all of this, but is to have them realize their connection to what's in front of them. And believe it or not, I'll never have a bad meal once people know what's going on with their food. What they really appreciate it, because then all of a sudden it tastes different. It tastes better. It tastes something that they hadn't tasted before. And so there's a complete realization there that because of the background and knowing and the very simple things that brought food forward, people really tend to really appreciate the whole experience.
Yeah, you create a whole event. I mean, and you connect yourself with the people, but also with the food, and all right. This is around you. That's quite unique. And by doing that, you also widen the perception of your.
Widen the perception of Dharma, of, I don't know, exposure?
No, widen the perception of the people who are eating your food, actually.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah. That's the idea, because once the perception is widened, then they kind of have their own exploratory journey into not only food, but perhaps the ingredients. Perhaps how is it made? Where is it coming from? And who's actually touching this food before I get it? You know, and why? So that's the idea. It starts a whole process that people may become more interested in. Because now, you know, going to schools, people think that, you know, McDonald's is where their food comes from, or from a styrofoam package, you know, and that's like, wow. That's a realization that's a slap in the face. And so we need to, as a society, really need to consider food an essential part of our education in living life and appreciating all the nature that creates that supports us. And that's all done just by understanding what you're putting into your mouth at a deeper level. It's all about a deeper level. You know, even going out to a place where the food may not, you know, like a greasy spoon, as we call them here, going to that place, you can still have an enjoyable experience at that place just by appreciating what brought you to that situation right at the moment that you're sitting down to eat, and that there's somebody back there that's probably not making a lot of money doing the best that they can to bring this food out to you with the quality of the ingredients that they have. So there is an exchange there of appreciation of the person back there wanting to do what they do, whether they're into it or not. So somewhere in there is a connection that can be appreciated when you are at the greasy spoon, let's say. You eat the food and it goes into your body in a better way because you have received it in a better way. Even though the food may not be what you would want to eat normally, you readied your body to accept something that was made by somebody that is caring about what they're doing, or at least going through the motions of feeding me. So all of those things need an appreciation, or should have an appreciation. So it's even going to McDonald's or something also, which, geez, I haven't done in years. I'm still surprised people go there. But even then, if you are sitting down with somebody to eat and it's not your favorite kind of food, you just give thanks for the gratitude of the exchange of one person from another feeding you. You know, so there's a lot there that can still make it a good experience for you and your body.
Yes, you mentioned some really crucial points here. It's about presence and attention. And it's also about energy. Food is information. Food is really, people always forget that, I mean, the food is growing somewhere. So that's the first source of information it gets. But as you mentioned also before, then there's somebody coming who is picking up the food. And gosh, I worked once for an organic farmer, and I was working on the field, and then I was just thinking about the people who in earlier days were foraging the landscape and just looking for food, and they were just so, when they found food, that was wow, that was so just, they were so relieved and they appreciated it so much. And I thought when I was working on the field, what makes a difference when I pick the food with love or with really, I honor you, carrot or whatever. Right. And this information really goes into the food. I mean, this makes a big difference. And this whole process of the food, you can put so much information in the food that's not just nutrients and proteins and whatever chemical level you're on, but it is really about this interconnectedness of the food and the being who is around the food and preparing the food and sharing the food. It is a spiritual thing, actually, a very deeply spiritual thing. And you also mentioned the rituals, preparing the food or harvesting the food, and that is also such an essential part. Just as you said, you can also go to McDonald's when you like, and just sit down there and look at your plate and appreciate what you see there, the side of the quality. But exactly, you can change the energy of the food just by that.
Exactly. That was my point, is that you can change the energy because there's an exchange there. The food may be what you may call a low vibration, if you will, but because you are receiving it, you have a chance to increase the vibration of the total experience. Maybe not the food, but you can change the experience of how your body receives it. That's the important part. Because you're going to eat it, your body needs to receive it in a better way that benefits you. You know, it's kind of like... It's somewhat of a different kind of analogy, but like ice cream, I will probably, you know, they say ice cream's too sweet or it's bad for you, or too much dairy, et cetera, but I always receive it in a very joyful way. And it also makes me feel like a kid, you know, and it's like, I like this experience and, you know, ice cream does that for me without even trying, you know? Nice. So, But getting back to the food, you know, and there's a different experience along each route that the food takes. You know, I'm starting with the farmer. I mean, the smell of the soil and the smell of the whole atmosphere of planting and working your hands in the dirt and of course, now it's probably all machinery, of course, but even that has a way of honoring the dirt in certain situations. I'm not talking about industrial farming. I'm talking about the farmer that's working hard to get good food to us. So he's taking care of his soil. And of course, good soil gives us good food and good health. So those are important links, very simple to remember. And that is what we need as our basis going forward in choosing what we eat and how we eat, because it's an energetic exchange, really. The energy that came from where that food was grown to going into my mouth can be very sacred, and it should be. That's why you would always search out food that you feel is better for you. You know, your body can also tell you what it wants if you're listening. You know, I listen to your podcasts about the breathing exercises, and those are all very important to set yourself into a mode of where you're in listen, where you're in listening. You know, I mean, God, if you will, God or energy or universe or whatever you want to call that is in all of us. So we have a chance to tap that for our health, for our needs, for our sacredness, for our energy to live a better life, a fulfilling life, a wide life on earth.
Yes, that's so true. And food is also a very, very nice way. I mean, I love food. I love eating. A very nice way to also reflect about boundaries and about interconnectedness and that there is this saying, you get what you eat, or you become what you eat, I think is this one. And when you're fully aware of that, when you take this food and it becomes you, that changes so much.
Yes, over a long term, it will definitely do that. And yes, you realize that as you're going along and what it's doing for you, that you're actually making better choices, not only with your food choices, but in life, you know, because the feeling is the feeling of good food is opening your body up to what it needs. And then it's doing its function to create a better life for us. And that's the energetic connection with your body, which I'm still working on. You know, I mean, that's a lifelong process. Yes. of understanding your body, what it needs, what you need, you know, and staying healthy and expanding artistically or any other way that you know, you care to expand. So it is an important factor, which I think a lot of people don't give enough reason to, don't give enough attention to.
Yes, but it's also due to our lifestyle. We don't have to search for food anymore, or not everybody has a garden and is planting own food. And we just, most people just in the Western world, at least, just consume it in the supermarket. they don't have any relationship actually to food. They just consume it. And I mean, it's the way it is, but it needs to change, because we see that the people are not getting healthier.
Right.
Yes, and also the environmental aspect of everything, and it's really about awareness about ourselves, but also about our surrounding, and food is really a wonderful way to actually raise this awareness.
Yeah, well, the way I see it is that how many people are on Earth? 8 billion or something? I don't know, 9 billion.
Yeah,
anyway, that's a powerful number, and that beats any politicians, any government, anything out that is we give our power to. We have the numbers, and so now what we need is the knowledge. And I think also partly of what I feel is partly my dharma, along with all of the we talked about, is teaching people, informing people. I'm not sure how to do that yet, but you know, I'm thinking about maybe going on to YouTube and just doing these things. But even teaching people how to read labels, what's in there, what is that that's in there? If you can't say it, don't eat it, you know. You know, like Michael Pollan would say, this is not food that your grandmother would recognize, you know. So there's a lot to be said for the educating of the masses, if you will, to being able to eat better. That is in our power. We have the numbers to do that. We can vote with our forks. If we don't want to eat something, we shouldn't. If we don't want something in our body, we don't buy it. And the corporations will get the hint eventually. It'll take them forever and probably millions of dollars in advertising and marketing to try to convince us otherwise. But ultimately, we have the power. And some people perhaps may not care. Other people are searching but don't know where to search. So that's, I think, where for the information. And so that's where I think partly what I need to be doing, too. Is informing, teaching, demoing, you know, going to kids, or children's schools, elementary schools, and starting at that level and giving them a chance to expand there with what I've been to schools where I make my own acorn flour. So I had a couple of chances to go to schools and show the children how to what to do with acorns. And so I had a whole box full of acorns, and then boy, within half an hour, they had them all shelled. It was really great because it's a very laborious process. You know, you shell them, you throw them in the water, you change the water as much as you can until the water's clear, and then they're leached. And then from there again, I put it in a blender with some water and I mix it and put it on a drying sheet and for a dehydrator. And then one more time, I'll put it through a mill. And I have a juicer, an Omega juicer, which is worm driven. And so it's a very slow motor, very slow and powerful. And it's perfect for grinding or milling grains. And it mills my acorn flour so that I get a nice flour consistency. So anyway, that's just part of what I do. Working with native ingredients, going to schools and starting at that level, I think, is also very important. So maybe within the next generation, we have a better informed people that would push out what's dominating the market now.
Yes, that's a good way to start the vote with the fork slogan.
Yes.
That's a nice sound that sounds like bells, chimney bells, or something like that.
Yeah, that's my phone. Sorry about that. All of a sudden now I'm getting these calls that I don't want.
You already send out your vibrations to connect.
It's my magnetic personality, I guess.
Yes. You have that for sure. By what you're doing. Yes, well, education is really essential, and there are so many ways to do that.
Yes.
Just do it. I mean, you have so much to share and so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and so much also practical experience. And that's something that a lot of people miss, you know, this practical ways of handling food.
Yes, that is, I think also too, there needs to be some kind of awareness in the schools, in the restaurants, in the people that are making the food, that are cooking the food, that are responsible for feeding people, that they also need to have an understanding. You know, is there GMOs in that food? You know, I mean, I'm pretty well versed in GMOs and those kinds of things, because that's part of my battling attitude towards, you know, some of these big corporations that are really pulling the wool over a lot of us and trying to expose them and inform people that this may not be a good ingredient to use because it's manufactured in a warehouse somewhere, in a laboratory, you know, and somebody owns that part of the food. Can you imagine people owning food that we eat? That's what it is when we are eating GMOs. So eating organic is a very first simple step in avoiding a lot of that, sidestepping all of that stuff. You know, that of course is not allowed in organic. So that's a good way to start doing something better for yourself.
Yes, Dan.
And in a sense, you're kind of fighting back. You know, you're taking your sovereignty of what you want to put in your mouth. You're taking it back for yourself so that you can control what you want to eat, you know, at a better level. So that's important. You know, that's part of the educational process. That's part of what I think more chefs should be doing. You know, So it's an ongoing process. And the women in the schools and the people that are serving the food in the schools, they're just, you know, all they can do is serve what they're given, you know. So the step in improving that, I think, is to get to the food before it gets to the school, you know, and create a better supply line with better nutritious food. So there's a lot of work to be done. And I can only jump in so far and for so many ways. So I feel, though, that that's part of what I should be doing as a chef, along with educating people with my food. So, you know, it's a multi-pronged approach, I guess you could say.
Yeah, multi-dimensional.
Yeah, yes. Sure. Yeah, yes. You bet.
On many, many levels. Yes, that's true.
And gathering a few hundred thousands, even just starting locally, is a good way to go to create a movement, you know, because all of these movements are started at ground level. You know, they're not started from the top down. They go from the bottom up. And that's what we need to do. So I'm looking for the best vehicle in order to, you know, make a difference in being able to power forward in creating a new experience with people's understanding and how they eat food, what they eat.
Yes. And the direct experience is very powerful when you see where the food is growing or how the food is growing and who grows the food. And when you just work yourself on the field and all these kind of aspects are really very powerful.
I was going to say, I've watched some TV shows where they did some experiments with schoolyard gardens, and they found that if kids planted the vegetables and saw them grow, that they would want to eat them, you know, because then it's a total experience, you know. And of course, kids and vegetables very often don't match. So when they're at ground level, planting and caring for it and watching it grow, and my God, it just came from a seed, and look at it now, that kind of wonderment, you know, they're going to really follow through on the closing end of the cycle there by eating it.
Yes, and it's also a kind of very a very touching experience, and kids especially, they're still connected to their being and they're wondrous and curious. And for me, I'm an educated environmental scientist. I know why the plant is growing from the seed, but for me, it's a pure wonder. It's just, for me, it's magic. It's wonder. It's just, I'm in total awe when I think about the process of how a plant is emerging from the seed. It's just, and when kids are realizing that, they love the food instantly.
It becomes a part of their psyche, all of a sudden they've captured a part of life that they may not have experienced otherwise if they hadn't done that. Yes. You know, with the seed has all the information it needs to become its full potential, and then bring out more seeds, give out more seeds. You know, it's just really amazing. That's one of the reasons I also save seeds at a very, very small level. I like to save them. I especially look for the rare seeds so that I can buy some and save them and just hold on to them, maybe grow them again and create more seeds, you know. So that's another fascinating aspect of what I like to do. It's but it's really the experience and the wonderment of how all this came about. And that's all being taken away because of the seed companies that they already do monopolize the market, you know, and they're creating seeds that give off insecticides. And so it's like, you know, it's really getting, it's getting tricky, and we really have to put an end to it, at least start fighting back. And again, that involves, I hate to use the word fighting back because that sounds so violent and so energy draining, but it's like, it's a process of understanding what's happening and understanding how understanding the information that you can get on correcting it, and then actually going out and living your life in a new way that is pushing away all the other stuff. So that's all of that we've talked about is all part of what needs to get done, you know. So it's a long journey.
Yes, it is. But as you said, we have the numbers. So it's about education and take our power back. I mean, yeah. we don't need companies who want to poison us. Really, right. We don't need them.
Yeah. And, exactly. Yeah. And, it's like the Native Americans are discovering now what they're calling, they're taking back their food sovereignty.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they have been displaced for so long that their heritage and ceremonies and rituals and even their seeds are all scattered about, and maybe some are even non-existent right now. So they're in the process of gaining back their sovereignty in more ways than one. And of course, food and the rituals, the language, the stories around all of that is now coming back. And what they'll tell you is that it's an essential part of their life. Hmm. You know, like when construction companies go in and they destroy antique or historical grave sites for the Native Americans, they're not understanding that this is a major deal to the Native Americans, that their respect for elders and the natures and the spirits that have, you know, entered into all of this is all part of their belief, you know, their creation stories coming from seeds, you know, the coyote, the trickster, and all of those things. It's all intertwined with nature. And that's the kind of thing that we need. You know, somehow maybe we could teach that in schools, go on a field trip once a week, you know, to someplace, to the zoo or to a forest or forage, you know. So there's a lot of things that can be done in our educational system that would allow, that should be allowed to do, have them do.
Yes, it's all about just becoming natural yeah. again. It's really this simple, and food and nature connectedness is really an essential part of that. Yes, you mentioned the indigenous people are, I mean, there is this saying that there needs to pass seven generations that the wheel is kind of turning. And
right.
I think we are at this point when it comes back, or when the power comes back, or the climate power back.
That's how they think. That's how they build their lives around. Will the seventh generation be able to benefit what I'm doing? You know, I think that's what that's about when they talk about the seven generations, is what they're doing. Is that going to sustain seven generations from now? You know, and it's an amazing thing to have that kind of philosophy in your life and to have it guide the way you do things. There's a high respect there that is inborn and is innate in everything that they do.
Yeah, you don't have the idea to destroy what you want to give on to your children. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense when you think about that. Yes,
yeah, that's true. that's what, you know, climate change is what they're talking about. I'm leaving this planet for my son. I don't want to do that this way. You know, that's what causes people to start getting involved in being able to help change things. And a lot of it is political. Certainly that, let's vote them out and get the people in there that really understand what we need. You know, because when you think about it, the politics is a very minority. It's a very minor part of the whole picture. They just have the most power. It concentrated in a very small area. And so they feel, I guess, that they're able to make changes. And of course, you know, the ideological things that get involved with all of that, you know, all of a sudden it's just between them and their little base. And you know, the other half billion people don't matter, you know, so we need to change that. We have the numbers.
Yes, this system is crazy. I mean, how can a bunch of people decide what we shall do or how we shall live? That's just crazy. That needs to change, actually. We can govern ourselves. We don't need people who want to tell us what to do. So right. Yeah, this needs to change, really.
A very small part of a very small population of people.
Yes, so. That's true. Yeah, but I guess we're in a very transformational time. So there are a lot of things breaking up and people are getting aware of all these things that are not in balance, that are not in harmony. And there are so many aspects to that. And people are really getting, the eyes are opening up in a sense.
Well, what caused that was COVID. And that's really been quite a blessing, actually, if you think about it. I mean, COVID is just Mother Nature's way of saying, hey, pay attention here. I'm going to have to give you this and let you see what you're doing. You know, so it opened up people's eyes to a lot of things. Again, I'll bring it back to the food thing about how centralized and vulnerable our food system is with something like, you know, even the people in a meatpacking company getting sick all at once. All of a sudden, you know, there's a shortage of meat, and I'm not a big proponent of eating a lot of meat. You know, I'm kind of a flexitarian, but there are a lot of people that it does a lot of good for, and, you know, prices get manipulated and all these other things. And people have woken up to all of this because of, you know, they had to sit still and get through this. And in the meantime, they watched all of these things fall apart and saying, oh, so now I see what's happening. And so it's been really good. This is a great time for transformation. Like you mentioned, this is how we should be doing COVID, is transforming ourselves first, whatever that takes. In your life, but transforming to a new understanding, and our eyes are wide open about what actually has been happening. And when people say going back to normal after COVID, it's like, you don't want to go back to normal. You want to create a new now. You know, you want to create something that is going to sustain not only you, but a portion of the people that you can take along with you. And create new things. All of a sudden, certain things become important and other things do not. And that's really, I think, also part of the transformation. You'd mentioned on one of your podcasts about shedding the old, you know, and I think you mentioned autumn was like the time to shed your stuff. And in the spiritual practice that I'm in, getting rid of stuff is actually raises your vibration or your energy level, your outlook. You know, there's nothing bad about letting go of stuff at all. It's empowering. And so it's time for people to start letting go of the way things were and keep what's good and discard the rest.
Yeah, and also to be conscious, well, what is actually important? What does life mean to me? What is essential? What is really essential? what is nourishing me, what is nourishing the people around me. And it's all about nourishment and not about about status and all these things. I mean, that's the old way, and that needs to die, because otherwise we're totally screwed up.
That's exactly it. And it just, it's a transformation now that's taking place slowly, perhaps, but if people stop getting into the politics and digging in on one side or the other, or, you know, the, that kind of thing, and just take care of what they need. What is it that I need in this moment? How can I get that for myself? There's nothing wrong with having your sovereignty to create a new experience for you. And this is the time to do that. You know, yes. I mean, people are leaving jobs. They don't want to go back to what they did before, because they realize there's more options, you know. And in the meantime, the wages have raised a little bit, because people weren't going back to the same old jobs. I'm tired of having to work all these hours and for so little pay. And so corporations have responded to that. So again, there's our power in play. You know, if we don't want to do something, we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't participate in creating something for somebody else if it's not pleasing, if we're not getting anything out of it. And so that's part of what happened in this pandemic, is a lot of kids, a lot of people, young people in particular, just said, to hell with this. You know, I'm going to go out and find something better. And corporations are starting to respond. So again, there's our power in play. And sometimes it just takes being in absence in order to take advantage of your power. By not going to do something in absence is also power. That is saying, that is mentioning something that you are concerned about, and letting somebody know that this is not going to work for you. That's our power.
Yes, yes, yes. We can decide where we put our energy in, and we can draw back. We can just, as you mentioned, we don't need to fight. We just need to draw back the energy and put it somewhere else where it is nourishing. And we are such amazing beings, and people just need to get aware of this. We are just such amazing, creative, eternal beings. And we can create whole worlds when we would fully live our potential. But just step by step by step. Evolution is sometimes very slow. and obviously human evolution is kind of slow.
It is, but as long as we're putting one foot in front of the other, it's going to happen. You know, maybe not in my lifetime or your lifetime, but somewhere along the way, you know, we can always lay a brick in the foundation to sit, you know, to help it keep going, you know. And I think that's probably what our contributions are. From what I understand, the next generation behind us is not putting up with the shit that we've put up with, or created, for that matter. You know, they're taking buses, they're not driving cars, you know. I mean, they're understanding what's a better life for them. So they're creating it in all aspects of their life. I don't know if that's a totally large movement, but I've been reading a lot about that they're not following the politics and listening to the bullshit, you know. So it's already starting to happen. So the next generation that comes into power, I think, is going to be a lot more cooperative. And maybe there won't be such a thing as a left and a right, or a conservative and a liberal, you know. It's like, how do we work together? How do we get this solved?
Yes. Yeah. We can have our stand, but still can be cooperative. And it's not about this either this side or this side, and they're just fighting against each other. It's about finding ways how we can do it together. And that's the way forward, I think. Yeah. That's true.
It's like when I told my daughter, when she wasn't sure who to vote for, I says, look, you know, both sides have a truth, It's like, who's going to bring that truth together? Yes. You know, and it's still, it's kind of happening, but not really. But, it, you know, there's more of awareness of it now. And so it's just a matter of time, I think.
Yes. And it's a game anyway.
Yeah.
So when you'd like to share some practical tips for people, what they can do for themselves concerning food and concerning more awareness, what would your practical tips be?
Well, I would say to first of all, find out more about themselves. Maybe meditate, pray, spend some time in nature, get clear, you know, just get clear, allow yourself to get clear. And that's an ongoing process in itself. But every time you do that, you create a little more space in your room, in your seventh chakra, as we say, to start accepting more room. And so get clear. I think you have, you know, you mentioned something about deep breathing exercises. I do those all the time. And I think actually it keeps me pretty healthy too. You know, I mean, I take these big breaths that just blow my chest out and blow out the bad energy. And then I bring in the good energy, you know, with the inhale. So there's a lot of things that people can do with that. First of all, in getting clear, just take the time for yourself. That's, you know, we were raised to say that that's kind of selfish to think of yourself. Well, no, it's not. It's not selfish in the sense of wanting to better yourself. It's selfish if you're just taking your time from somebody else, perhaps, but take the time for yourself, whatever that means to you, that will get you centered, give you peace, give you clarity, and then find out what pisses you off. And what you can do about it, read up on it, you know, become interested in how things work that you're particularly interested in. And then see, and eventually from there, you can start reading labels on food. You know, a lot of it has to do with the chemicals and things that go into food. You know, start looking at labels. Just practice looking at labels. Buy organic. People say it is expensive, and I suppose that it is. But then when you realize that cheap food is subsidized and the real cost of cheap food is, you know, being absorbed by us with taxes and subsidies and stuff, it's a wash. So organic is much better for you. You know, I mean, it's clean food. That's what you can do for yourself on an ongoing basis, and search that out. You know, it's not about, I hear all this stuff, people, especially in the marketing, saying, you know, elitist food and stuff. That's not elitist food. That's food that's raised cleanly by somebody that really cares about the earth, that is caring about what kind of nutrient dense food they're creating and how it gets to us. That's organic. Try and find that in a processed food that's wrapped up in styrofoam. So, like I said, center yourself, get to know what you want to really be interested in, and find out more information. Read labels. There's a lot of people out there that are of the like mind. So you can always find somebody, you know, do a search on Google. But reading labels and then going organic and then cooking for yourself. Cook for yourself. That's what I find as a cooking teacher, teaching how to cook, is a lot of people are afraid. There's nothing to it. Make your mistakes, if you want to call them mistakes, but they're, like I said, like Miles Davis says, there are no mistakes. It's just another door that you're opening to exploration. That's what, if you want to call mistakes, that's what they are, is a new door. Maybe you can find something out about yourself even, but even about the food when you cook for yourself. So that's the healthiest way to eat, because you're not going to poison yourself. You're not going to over sweeten it. And you probably, you may oversalt it once or twice, but you'll see what your levels are in appreciating the ingredients that you want to add into your food. So I think those are the biggest things. And then give thanks every day. Give thanks. There's gratitude. You know, when I look at my life and I say, I could have done this, I could have done that. But I realize that everything that I have done in my past has brought me to exactly where I'm at right now. And that is one hell of a realization, is that I'm here because of what I've done for myself. And so, like you mentioned, it's all information. There is no right or wrong or good or bad. It's all information. It's what we do with it that creates this polarity of right and wrong and all these other things. So I guess that's about what I can do. I'd probably go on, but I think I could stop. I should stop there.
Yeah, you have much to share.
Yeah.
And your passion is really, yeah, it's tangible. That's wonderful.
Wait a minute, I gotta wipe off my screen here. I'm
yeah.
Just full of tangible
Yeah. And how can people get in touch with you? Where do they find you? Or maybe they have an idea for you what you can
do,
whatever.
Yeah, well, I do have a website. It's indigenousedibles.com. And that's probably, that gives you information about everything that I do, or at least it's a overview of what I do. But then also, can you hear that?
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm getting all these phone calls.
It sounds nice from here. It sounds like this, you know, this bells, like this delicate... these delicate bells.
Angels chimes.
Yes.
So indigenousedibles.com, and there's a contact number on there, and I can give out my, should I give out my email address? That would be JFBUDO, 111 at gmail.com. That's the email that I use every day that I'm on. There's also another email on the website that I also am checking secondarily. So those are two ways to get a hold of me. And occasionally you'll probably see some information out on me. I got a couple of things on YouTube, but you know, they're just friends recorded it. And you know, I'm actually looking to be able to expand into more visual video type stuff. So it's all ongoing. But those are the emails and the website are probably the best way.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, John. This was a very, very inspirational and a very energetic talk with you.
Well,
I really appreciate you, all what you do. And it is really, you're such a valuable being, and it's really wonderful.
Well, thank you. You have tended to bring out the best in me. So I appreciate that. You know, when I go to your website, it's like, wow, this is really something else. And it stimulates you to look at yourself from, you know, the way you have done for yourself. And so that's an opening that I really appreciate.
Thank you. Yeah, we just appreciate each other. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It is so nourishing.
Yeah, yeah. Just express gratitude, you know.
Yes.
If you're in trouble and it looks like you're in full of fear, and say, thank you for this moment. How can I best take care of this moment? You know, it'll always turn out well. Maybe not the way you expect it to,
yes,
but in the long run, it'll turn out well.
Yeah, life is a learning journey.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's continuous.
Yes, it's I don't know where this will end.
Yeah, I mean, how many times a day are we given a chance to express gratitude, to change our minds, to try something new? You know, there's infinite amount of times during the, just during one day that we could make a difference that would either help us and then help perhaps help somebody else.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's all about awareness again.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Sure it is. You bet it is.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Probably... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's great talking to you. Thank you so much. I'm glad
thank you. Thank you for your time. We could, I think we could talk for hours.
Yeah. Yes, we could. Yeah.
I will certainly invite you for another episode.
Well, thank you. Yeah, maybe we can cover something else. But
yes.
There's a lot to cover on what we talked about today. Too,
That's true.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Plumped Serpent podcast. When you like this show, you can leave a message on our Anchor site, share this podcast, or simply tell a friend about it. You might also become a member on my Patreon site, Plumped Serpent, where I offer you some valuable bonus content to deepen your connection with nature and yourself. And I appreciate when you tune in next week for our next episode. May the magic of the Plumped Serpent be with you.